Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha no everyone, Brother Bulla here once again, sharing the good news with you. Want to welcome all of my brothers and sisters tonight. Mahalo for tuning in. I'd like to give a shout out to the Berean and Friday Chapel boys at Halava. I'd like to give a shout out to my Waiava boys up there in Module 10 Cashbox program. FDC, strong and faithful brothers, you know who you are. Keep up the good work down there. And to our good friends all across the United States, wherever you're tuning in tonight. And also like to thank anyone here in the state of Hawaii. Maybe you just got home fighting the traffic out to the west side. Maybe you're sitting at your kitchen table on the hills of Aiea, looking at your beautiful view. Or maybe you're just sitting in Waimanalo kicking back. Mahalo nui loa for tuning in tonight to Free Inside Ministry. We are the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Red Hill, Honolulu. We have a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the incarcerated, the broken, and the lost, and to preach the gospel to every person. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to those men and women that are incarcerated in Halava, Waiava, OCCC, FDC, and soon in the Women's Correctional Facility in Kailua. We also minister to our brothers in Saguaro, Arizona, and will be heading there very shortly in the month of May. Mahalo to all of you who have joined us this evening. Feel free to check out our website, www.freeinsideministry.org, where you can find all of our programs, some photos, but the programs are in a podcast format, so you can download them for your listening enjoyment. We also have a Facebook page, Free Inside Ministry. And we also have an email account, freeinsideministry@gmail.com. Drop me a line. Send me a suggestion of some topics or what you'd like us to discuss on the program. Or let me know if this program has helped you or any of your ohana in any way. Once again, mahalo for tuning in. "For I know the plans I have for you," declared the Lord. "Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future." That's Jeremiah 29:11. That is our anchor verse that we take with us in prison when we go. But you see, it also goes on to say in verses 12 to 14, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land." Hallelujah. You know, tonight, once again, this is part two of our series with Pastor Barry Nooni from Door of Faith Church in Nanakuli, talking about the incarceration of Native Hawaiians in the state of Hawaii and the impact that it has on the family, the ohana, the loved ones, and what seems to be some of the challenges within the system. Pastor Barry, why don't you say a few words to our listening audience this evening?
Aloha and God bless, Bulla, and thank you, Pastor, for having me again once again on this evening for your show.
Well, you know, we left off last night. We were talking about some of the challenges within the community and how as a church family, how as a church, we reach out to those that are incarcerated. And also not so much the ones that are incarcerated behind the walls, but like we always say, you don't have to be in prison to be imprisoned. You know, I had a testimony from a great brother the other day, and he said that, you know, it's through our ministry, and this is the fruit of our ministry. This is what keeps us going. This is the fuel of the fire. This is the white gas you throw on the flame. And it's just when you get reports, when you get praise reports of someone whose life has changed because of you being obedient to the call of the Lord upon your life to share the gospel, to share the good news with those that are incarcerated. I had a brother share, he said that it was back in October that he had come to one of our services that we were doing at OCCC, and it was when we were doing praise and worship. You see, and that's an important part of what we do and how we do it, because when we go into the prisons to visit our beloved, our brothers and sisters, we always start with praise and worship, because no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you always have something to be thankful for. We praise God for what he's done, but we worship him for who he is. He said it was during that praise and worship time in the module that we were visiting that Saturday afternoon, I can still remember it, that he decided to rededicate his life to the Lord. And since then, he's out of prison. He's got two jobs. He's working. He's plugged into a church, which is very important. But he said, I went from a hopeless dope fiend. Okay, you got to hear this, and it's really good. He said he went from a hopeless dope fiend to a dopeless hope fiend. I like that. I like his playing words with that. But so many times we get to the point where we bottom out. When we're getting splinters in the bottom of our okoli because we're at the bottom of the barrel, that's when God is reaching out to us more than ever. But we still have to reach out to him. Pastor Barry, maybe you can share with our listening audience tonight. You know, between the two of us, you know, we both shared that we both have been incarcerated. But was that where the realization came into your life when Jesus was real, or was it at some point after that?
No, Pastor, it was right then and there. See, I was fourth generation, born in the church, born and raised in the church. But that didn't mean that I knew who the Master and Savior was. Played church, played church here and there. But it was until, like you said, hitting rock bottom. When I hit rock bottom, and it wasn't because of drugs or anything else. It was to do with I had an anger problem. And when I had gone in, I was looking probably at 2 to 5 years. But out of God's grace and mercy.
Hallelujah.
20 days.
Hallelujah. 20
days. And you know what was good, Pastor? At that time, I had just been promoted to a lead driver. I drove school buses, tour buses for this year, 18 years.
Wow.
And I was just promoted to the lead driver. But that time when I went and spoke to my boss, the owner at the time, and he told me, and it actually touched my heart, he says, it didn't matter if you went in for years.
Mm-hmm.
I like your performance, and we're going to keep you. But you know what, Pastor? That time, I wasn't serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But still, God was merciful, and God was gracious, even while, as I joke, and I use the term loosely, a heathen.
A heathen, yeah. Yeah, it's I thought my middle name was Heathen, the way my mom talked about me when I was growing up in Aliamanu. But, you know, it's interesting because it's a lot of times, when I talk to our brothers and our sisters that are incarcerated, a lot of times when you're going through it, you don't see what you're going through. But when you get on the other side and you look back, you see the touch of God in your life. And, you know, it's just incredible because a lot of times we think of this. I tell a lot of our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated, I said, you know, God loves you right where you are. Mm-hmm. They kind of look around the room sheepishly. And I said, but he loves you too much to leave you where you're at. You know, God loves all of us. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've done, who you've done, where you've been, what you've been. God loves you. There is nothing that's ever going to separate you from the love of your Heavenly Father. But he loves you too much to leave you where you're at. You know, a lot of people, they have, you know, that I preach a lot out of the Pigeon Bible, the Jesus book, because, you know, the devil likes to use discouragement as his number one weapon. You know, especially when you're incarcerated, when you've been sentenced, when you're serving time, when you're sitting in that cell with whoever is next to you, and you look around at your surroundings and you realize, wow, where am I? What happened? You know, it's like the prodigal son coming to his senses when he's looking at the pig slop, the stuff that the pigs are eating. Now, he's a Jewish young man, and here he is not only taking care of the pigs, he's sitting in the pig slop with them, and he's looking at it. He's so hungry because of the famine. Inside, he's thinking, if I had some ketchup and Tabasco, I could whack this boy with these pigs. And he comes to his senses, and he realizes, oh, man, he like whack himself on the side of his head. Sometimes we need to get to a point where God gives us some cracks and we realize where we're at. You know, just like the boy. But you see, that's more of a story of the father's love. Because when he was a far way off, the father saw him. And the father didn't walk to him. The father didn't jog to him. The father didn't jump on a bicycle. He ran to his boy that was lost. The prodigal son returns home. And he just loved on his son. And he loved on his son despite all of the things that the young boy had done. He had squandered away his inheritance. He had squandered away everything. Came back homeless, penniless, broke, no more slippers, bus tolls, everything. And the father was kissing him all over his neck and saying, my son has returned home. That's what I share with a lot of those that are incarcerated, is God's just waiting for you to come to your senses. And, you know, it's like I share with them, Pastor Barry. It's like you have one of two choices. You're either going to let God break you and let him use you, and you get all of the blessings that he has for you. Or you can fight him, you can rebel against him, you can discard him, you can turn away from him, and he's still going to break you. It's just that it's going to take you longer to get your blessings. You're going to have more trials, more tribulations. It's like the horse, the wild stallion that they bring into the fenced area. You see the cowboy, the Paniolo, get on top of him, and the horse tosses him off his back. The Paniolo gets back on top of him, and the horse tosses him off his back. But eventually, Pastor, you know who wins that battle. Who wins that battle every time?
God.
God wins. God is the cowboy on your back. No matter how many times you're going to buck God, God going to break you. God going to break you just like the Paniolo breaks the horse. So I give that as a visual to see that, you know, the cowboy loves that horse so much, he's not going to let him stay wild. He's going to bring him in. He's going to make him obedient because the Paniolo or the cowboy knows what the horse needs. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. He's going to keep jumping on us and jumping on us and jumping on us till we can't buck him no more. And you say, enough already. Fine, that's it. But some of us, there's some smart horses out there that realize that the first time he gets on you. But some of us, we wait for the 10th, 20th, 30th, maybe 100th time where we keep fighting and fighting what eventually is going to happen. But maybe, Pastor Barry, you can share also, you know, when you're working with the youth, because I always focus on the youth, and because that's our future, you know, and I always say, "Uomao ke eo kaini kopono," for the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness. But what do we leave as our legacy for the generations coming up? How do you share or how do you instill with them the love of the Lord? And we try to do that as a preventive measure so they don't end up incarcerated. What are some of the things that you found to be effective in your ministry?
Besides hitting them over the head. Oh,
hey, he said that, not me, but it works.
Well, you know, that was old school how we were brought up. Nowadays, the most important thing to do, Pastor, is show them love. Show them that you care. You know, I grew up hearing, you know, getting bashed over the head. You got to do it this way. You don't do this, don't do that. But nowadays I see, you know, how the father loved that son who was lost.
Yes.
He went out and ran to him. Mm-hmm. Same method. We got to just go to them and love on them and say, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. Let's just work it together. Let's pray. Let us move forward in the Lord and let's make it to the promised land.
You know, that's so important. You know, I think in today's technological world, we're surrounded by so much electronic wizardry and gadgets, you know, but I see more and more people using that as an effective tool. And, you know, we use that with Free Inside Ministry as a form of communication. I see so many kids on that, but in the same sense, as it gives us such an opportunity to reach out. But I think more and more we need to work on the old school. It was called the BTB, and that stood for belly to belly. And it's when you can look in someone's eyes and tell them that you really do care for them. They need to feel that physical presence of the Lord's touch upon them. And you can't do that through a Facebook. You can't do that through a Twitter. You can't do that through a MySpace. They actually have to be in church. You know, what are some of the ways? Now, you had the youth rally. I found that to be really inspiring. What are other ways that you get to inspire your youth to come out to participate?
Other ways, we have youth conventions, we have different functions for our youth, but one of our biggest ones is being in our community, and it's we've been able to reach out to the youths or to the football team playing.
Oh, wonderful.
Football members of Nanakuli High School, and we've done that for a couple of years.
Have you guys adopted the team, sort of?
Not yet. Uh-huh. We're in the making.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. You know, once again, I want to thank all that have tuned in tonight to 99.5 FM, The Word. This is Free Inside Ministry. Brother Bula here with Pastor Barry Noone from Door of Faith Church out on Haleakala Avenue in Nanakuli, out on the west side, which is God's side, according to our dear sister, Dawn of a New Day O'Brien. You know, and we're talking about incarceration and how do we keep the kids from going down the wrong path. But growing up in a family, and I had a son who, we were blessed, he played high school football and did go on to play college on a full ride D1 scholarship. But it's just, it seems like athletes have structure. And I think it's those kids that have some structure, we're able to identify with them a little bit more. Do you find the fact that they're athletes that makes them more receptive to you when you go and speak to them, Pastor Barry?
Yes, I find them receptive.
Now, I know, statistically speaking, on the west side, there is a lot of challenges, you know, socially. and economically, but you know, it's hard to argue with someone when you're giving them one free plate of chili and rice, you know. And do you guys, how do you reach out to the community? Do you have food drives or any other things?
Well, it's been a culmination of other churches within the community that we went and it was a vision of mine that I had a couple of years back, and I went to speak to the principal, and it was just to give back, just to let them know that, you know, here, we love you. We're from the church down the road, no strings attached. But what we would do is just give them a plate, and we would also give them pre-game meals.
Pre-game meals. Oh, those must be scrumptious.
And then we would come back up at the end of their night, whether they played out at Kaiser, no matter where, our members and the members from different churches, we would prep the plates. We'd have a phone call from one of the coaches saying, we're at this point, have it. When it got to them, it was hot.
So you were providing not only a pregame meal, which is so important because they perform at such a high level, and with the metabolism of kids nowadays, I think they can eat about 8,000 calories, and they're going to be skinny as a beanpole. Me, I look at two food magazines, I gain 5 pounds. But, you know, you do the pregame meal, not, and then, you know, that's always good before the game because they're going to eat that. But, you know, once you've depleted that out of your system, you've been playing 4 hard quarters of football, and now you're coming back. I can't believe you guys have a hot meal ready for the coaches and the players, ready for them?
Yes.
Man, that's called, as Pastor George Nagato with the Assemblies of God Church said, that's being Jesus with skin right there. I mean, that's just, you know, that's going to, it's funny how food gets, local style, how do you get to a guy's heart? Through his stomach. And if you were to look at Pastor Barry and I, you know, we have big hearts because we have big old pools, but, you know, someone once told me, are you going to get in shape? I said, why? Round is a shape. But that's besides the point. But, you know, just to imagine those kids, because if they didn't have that hot meal, they're probably going to go home and, you know, they're lucky to go eat one canned Vienna sausage or one sandwich, but you have a hot meal, and they know that you don't even have players on the team. You don't need family. You're just doing it out of your love for them as individuals, as young men playing for Nanakuli High School. They said, wow, these churches, they're just going to give us food because why? Because Jesus loves us. Their eyes and their face just must just light up when you guys give them those plates.
It does. It does.
Now, do you also interact with, are the families there when the kids come back because they got to pick up the boys and stuff?
Yeah, we would always make extras for the family members as well.
So this is just an effective arm of the ministry. It's not, you know, we're not telling them come to church on Sunday. We're not talking about a big church. We're not talking about a big religion. It's like, can we feed? I just love this because, you know, that's the same way Jesus fed the multitude. They had a need. And he met the need with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And with the limited resources you have out there, Pastor, you've been able to collaborate with others, and you're able to provide something that's well needed in the community. And I believe that you're sowing seeds that is gonna reap a harvest in the kingdom. Now, I'm curious, have you had any of the football players that you've been able to minister to or to share the music? Have any of them been able to come to a service now and then at your church?
Yeah, they would come. The coaching staff and the players would come to one service. They'd even come to our youth rallies. Mm-hmm. If it landed where we hosted it, we'd invite them, and they would come, and we would just get to share the word. But I've had a chance to minister on the outside as well to the youths who see me on the road. And, you know, Pastor, I find it funny. You know, I'm walking in the store, and they're, you know, they're going off speaking in foreign tongues. But when they look at my way, they're going, oh, look, Father. I said, no, just call me Barry.
Well, you know, I could have sent you to Rome for the Vatican, but we kept you here in Hawaii, Pastor Barry. But, you know, I think we need a Hawaiian. Well, we'll get into that another time. But, you know, it's just, you know, once again, you know, it's just like, you know, a lot of times we get stuck in programs, we get stuck in structure, we get stuck in what's politically correct, and here you are supplying a hot meal to a very tired and exhausted football player, and you're just doing it out of the love you have for them, and that's the love of Christ, not to you, but that's the love of Christ going through you. I just think that's just a wonderful. Now, how long have you guys been able to do this, Pastor?
We did that for like 3 years. Actually, we went on a trial basis. They already had a program in effect. We went to observe, and we found out that, you know, what we observed was some had meals, some didn't have meals. And that night, it broke our heart. It broke my heart because, you know, seeing these boys come and we're passing out and, you know, then they're told, oh, you didn't give, so yeah, you can't have. And when I looked at our staff from our church and
yes,
to other churches, you know, I cried because, you know, I'm looking at them saying, wow, what can we do? And
exactly,
that is what we could do, was to provide. And Pastor, we provide with no expenses to the school. It's just out of our love for them.
See, that's investing back into the community. And, you know, it's activities like that. It's like taking the lead on and then where there's a need in the community and meeting it with the resources you have. But once again, it's about many hands making light work. It's not one person or one group. It's collaboration. It's coming together like the body of Christ and working together. What? For the kingdom of God. It's not about church building. It's about kingdom building. And I strongly believe that it's these acts of kindness, these acts of love, these random acts that is sowing seeds deep into these boys' hearts, because they know that, you know, they're not paying for anything, but someone's giving them a hot meal. Why? Because Jesus loves them. And that speaks volumes into someone that maybe otherwise might not have a hot meal at that time of the night after the game where they've expended themselves. And, you know, I just continue to pray and lift up all of our student athletes, because, you know, once they get to know that, you know, academics come before athletes, because if you look it up in the dictionary, AC comes before AT. That's why it's a student athlete. And you come student first. It's their ticket to get out of there. It's their ticket for more opportunities. And, you know, when we talk about free inside ministry, it's not only applying to those that are incarcerated, because there's a lot of people that are not incarcerated or in prison, and they're more locked out than the guys I got locked up. You know, I've got more brothers and sisters inside that are right with God, and people have opinions about that, saying that, well, they've got nothing else better to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If that's the case, everybody should get locked up for a while and get right with God. Because, you know, when the Lord comes and he changes your life and you're open for him, you know, a lot of times we ask God to take over our life, you know, but God's not going to take us over unless he can make us over. You see, and people have to realize that God can do miracles in a nanosecond. If you remember Mork and Mindy with Robin Williams, a nanosecond is like in the blink of an eye. But why is God going to heal you when as soon as you're healed, you forgot who your healer was? Why will God deliver you from a situation when you won't give him the praise, the honor, and the glory of what he saved you from? You know, many of us say, oh, God, and we start cutting deals with God, and we get delivered, and then all of a sudden, oh, what did I say? I didn't really say every Sunday I was going to church. Oh, I didn't say I was going to read the Bible, did I? Nah, I must have been joking. But yet you were delivered. But, you know, the Lord hears all of our prayers. He knows all of our wants and all of our needs. And, you know, it's just an opportunity, once again, like Pastor Barry and Dora Faith Church out in Nanukuli and the other churches out there in the community. It's when we're able to step forward, when we're able to step out and show those that might not know who Jesus is what the love of Christ is all about. Barry, just before we close, is there any last-minute thoughts you want to share with the listening audience tonight?
You know, it was the effectual, fervent prayer of my great-grandmother who prayed for me, who prayed day and night for me, even when I was saved and unsaved, when I was loving and unloving. She never gave up till her dying day.
Mm.
She always said, God had a calling on your life. She said, you know, you're a very good boy, but your anger, she was right. When I got incarcerated, was for my anger. And it was then and there where I had to choose, like the Bible says, choose you this day, whom will you serve? I had to decide, and I'm glad I chose to serve him. I have no regrets, Pastor.
You know, that's so interesting. When I talk to people about anger, I always tell them it's one letter away from danger. You know, anger is a tool of the enemy. It's a tool of the enemy to get into our mind, you know, and we have to defeat it with the scripture, with the word of God, because that's the truths that we share, that we have to hold true to our soul, is no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You have to remember Jeremiah 29:11, because that is our anchor verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. So if things aren't going right now, that's because God's got a better plan for you. Too often we kick the bucket before we should ever do. Because when you go through a breakthrough, it didn't say walk through, it didn't say swim through, it didn't say jog through. There's a breakthrough. Breakthrough means there's a physical act of violence where you have to break something. But you know what's on the other side of that breakthrough? Your miracle. We just give up too early. Failure is not falling down. Failure is not getting up. You know, and you got to remember, Jesus Christ got up every time he fell when he was carrying the cross, when he could have told his heavenly Father, said, God, Enough already, pow. But he didn't, because he knew what his destiny was. And once you know who your identity is, then you will know what your destiny is. You are a child of the Heavenly Father, a child of our Lord and Savior, a child of God. You are of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're not a convicted criminal. You're not a deadbeat dad. You're not someone who's unemployed. Know who your lineage is so you can experience the fullness and the joy that the Lord has for you, that he wants you to have. He wants to bless you, because all the blessings will come if you follow the Lord. Pastor, we've got about a minute left. Maybe you could close us in prayer.
Amen, amen. Psalms 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Father, we bless your holy name, Father, for everyone, Lord, that is in need of a touch right now, Lord. I pray, Father God, that your hands of healing will just go out and touch their lives, Father. Those, Father, who are incarcerated, continue to bless them and touch them, Lord. Their families, Lord, touch their families as well. The husbands and wives who are inside, who are on the outside, the children most of all, Lord, that they may come to know who you are, that they may come to serve you for all that you've done. Father, I just bless your holy name. Pray that you bless Pastor Bula. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you once again for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. And ahui ho, remember, God loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. Aloha, aloha kiakua.
You've been listening to Free Insight with Brother Bula Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bula at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.